You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker on April 1st, 2026. Thank you for joining us, Sean, to give the community an update from the Wood County Sheriff's Department.
Always a pleasure and happy April 1st.
Happy April Fool's Day. Did you have any pranks played on you today?
Not that I'm aware of, but the day is still early.
The day is young, people. Mm-hmm. When you listen to this, this day will be past. But.
Right. And I have a way of getting even, too, so I always tell people that.
Okay.
In an inappropriate way.
All right. Good to know. The one that always comes to mind for me is the, what's that clear stuff called? Plastic.
Oh, yeah. In the door or something.
Or over the toilet seat. Yep. Toilet seat, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I've pulled my pranks in my day, and I've had them pulled on me as well. You know, going back, you know, just thinking about it when I was a patrol deputy, one of my really good friends, Randy Dorris, who's been retired, and I really miss him. And he always kept his squad car just meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just OCD that way, and that's okay. I mean, he always took care of his you know, his equipment. And I always had this thought of, you know, it'd be really cool to get him with some powdered sugar, you know, in the visor. You know, and so one day we set that up, and it just wasn't happening. We call him and say, hey, let's meet up car to car, and hey, could you get me something that was up in his visor? And he would not pull it down. And then it finally happened, but it happened when he was at home, and he let us know that it happened, and so.
He wasn't happy about it?
No.
Well, but powdered sugar is slightly better than, like, the glitter that I heard somebody put in the air ducts.
Yep.
So then we turn the fan on, the glitter mm-hmm. explosion. That never gets cleaned out of your car, ever.
Mm-mm. No, but it's always, if you can't pick on somebody, then you know you don't like them. That's my motto.
Okay. Life lessons with Sean Becker.
Yeah. Exactly.
Should we move on to now talking about county business?
Sure.
Crypto bill passed, and
it
so
did.
Now it's on the governor's desk waiting to
it
be
is.
Signed.
I'm hoping to hear that it will, you know, what day the governor will have it, and I would hope he'd sign it. But it was a pretty emotional day when we knew that, you know, once we testified in front of the Senate. We said, okay, the next thing is automatic. It goes to the whole Senate floor. And then the day of that was supposed to happen, we got notified by our lobbyist that, you know, represents the Badger State Sheriff's Association, excuse me, a little horse, and said, oh, for whatever reason, the bill didn't make it to the schedule. And that means
that
it's not going to happen.
Oh, dear.
And I was really taken back by that, because a lot of the hard work that, you know, we had been doing here at the Sheriff's Department and all over the state, you know, and like we've talked before, the regulation has been happening, you know, all over the country, and it needs to happen here. And so I just felt defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, I talked to Lance Plimble right away, some other county board members, Donna Rosar, and our lobbyist said, hey, just do what you can and call the people that represent our area. And I went beyond that. You know, I not only called, you know, Pat Teston, Corey Tomchek, but I called, you know, you name it, that I was told, hey, you should connect with these people in the Senate and as many people as I could. And then so did Donna and Lance. And then other sheriffs started doing the same thing.
Oh, good.
And then about after 5 o'clock, Corey Tomchek texted me and said, hey, it's going to get to the floor now. It's like, okay. And I just felt the whole day defeated. And all of a sudden it did, and then it passed 33-0.
Wow.
So it was just an up and down day, but I understand there's a process that goes on, and, you know, lobbyists are involved on the other side of this. I get that, but I don't understand it, because this is a bill that protects people. And it's nothing that we've talked about. We're not against crypto.
Right.
You know, we're against, you know, people getting scammed, and if crypto's being part of it, there should be regulations there to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bill was written very well by Pat Snyder up in the Wausau area.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesse James, Senator from Eau Claire, helped author the bill and got to the Senate. So it's passed. I'm hoping to hear sooner or later that the governor will have it in front of him. And I'd love to be there when he signs it.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Well, and for listeners who don't know, this bill is for, as you mentioned briefly, protection for consumers mm-hmm. who are using cryptocurrency kiosks yep. to purchase crypto mm-hmm. And making sure that the money you deposit into those ATM-type machines is actually being turned into crypto that you obtain
Correct.
Versus scammers.
Correct. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And the bill will be, once signed, a $1,000 limit per day. And then a 100% refund to the victim if they report it to law enforcement within 30 days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's always going to be, unfortunately, scams out there. Mm-hmm. And part of it is education and letting people know that, you know, there's all these different scams going on. And it really seems, and it's sad that our seniors get picked on the most, but they've saved up, you know, their life savings and people know that, and unfortunately they get scammed more frequently.
Take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we can get out, at least get, you know, that education piece mm-hmm. out, but
and
I still
also
think
that legislation for added protection.
Absolutely. 100% spot on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, that is your job as a sheriff and our representative's job as local government and state leaders to mm-hmm. protect our constituents.
Absolutely. We all work together, bipartisan support. Just it's regulation that makes sense.
Well, now let's move on to the next CIT training class
yeah.
that's coming up. This will be the 15th class.
Yeah.
And CIT stands for Crisis Intervention Training. This is supported by NAMI.
Yep.
Tell us about this.
Great story. I know I've talked about it before on, I talk about it every year when we have a class. And this is our 15th class, and we've trained over throughout the years, well over 300 law enforcement officers, corrections officers, dispatchers, and some people in the community, some stakeholders. It just really evolved so many years ago when, you know, the mental health side of things were changing, you know, within the system and how law enforcement was involved. You know, back in the day, number one, when I started training, started as a law enforcement officer, there was really zero training in mental health, you know, for us on two levels. One, our own wellness, and number two, the community, you know, mm-hmm. how you're going to address, you know, people when they're in crisis, you know, and there just really wasn't. It was just, all right, you go handle a welfare check. Are they a danger to themselves or others? If they are, right, call this number for, you know, a mental health facility, and then they'll determine whether or not that person gets committed. And more often they would get committed. And that's the way things were. Well, the statute changed where really human services became the decision maker through crisis. Mm-hmm. And it was a decision that happened pretty quickly. And we weren't really trained on how to deal with that. So the change happens. And, you know, thankfully, some of our deputies didn't agree with that, one being Doug Christensen. And he kept complaining to me, I don't agree with what, you know, crisis is doing. They're putting more people on safety plans instead of having them committed. I feel this is a liability. There's a danger here, you know. And so we started learning as we go. Mm-hmm. And with Doug, you know, continuing to complain, you know,
squeaky wheel gets the oil, right?
Exactly. And he didn't give up, you know. And I finally said, at the time I was overseeing patrol, I reached out to crisis, and who was overseeing at the time was Katie Sizz. I go, we got to do something here. And she had a background in law enforcement as well, and said, well, why don't you send Doug to CIT? You know, and we didn't have our own at the time, but the two places that in the state of Wisconsin that were really good with their training and starting it were Appleton and the Madison area. So we sent Doug to CIT in Appleton, and he came back just, the light bulb went off, and it came, you know, you got to send everybody to this. I get it now. We mm-hmm. need to work together as a team with our social workers, mm-hmm. especially connected to crisis. We got to get out in our community, know our stakeholders, because there's a lot of, you know, things that connect to people that are in mm-hmm. crisis that we can help them with. And so it grew, and we were sending our deputies all over the state, and then, you know, with Katie and Doug and some other people, we like, you know what? You know, human services, why don't we start our own CIT? Instead of sending people all over the state, we can do our own. Mm-hmm. And then that gives us the opportunity to train our local law enforcement officers and you know, connect them with the stakeholders and bring people and train this 40-hour training. And you know, we had that vision and we made it happen, and we're our 15th one. So
okay.
We have over 30 people in this class, and that's about the average of the class. And they've, you know, we train most of our staff. You know, anytime we hire people, they're going to go to this class. But now we're seeing people come from all over state to our class.
Nice.
You know, which says a lot that, hey, we're doing something that's being noticed not only locally, mm-hmm. but throughout the state. So it's something that I'm very passionate about and proud of. That whole mental health aspect of law enforcement, I've learned throughout the years, you know, how you can make a difference in the community is us learning it and applying what we know and helping people out, because welfare checks on the road happen often. Mm-hmm. And then you take the jail component. You know, the inmate population, no matter where it is, you know, a high percentage of them are suffering from addiction and mental health issues or illnesses or together. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, as we continue to invest in not only that type of training, but, you know, just in the community and the stakeholders and coming in, like Three Bridges that has been in existence, I think, since 2019. Though that's making a difference in the community, and people might not realize that, but the more we can invest in that, I think we made it make a better community.
Wonderful. Well, this is a great place for us to pause a moment to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay, talking with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I'm speaking with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker, and where we left off, we were talking about some training that our local officers are coming to and that outside entities are now joining with. Let's now dive into a little bit more of a somber topic.
Sure.
With the 31-year anniversary of Deidre Weeks' killing.
Yeah, 31 years is a long time to for family and the community to know that that case is still open. You know, our commitment is still to solve it. We're still working on it. So we always ask people all the time, somebody knows something, somebody's living with this, and please come forward. You know, that's what it's going to really take at this time, is somebody coming forward with information that they know that it's pertinent to this unfortunate tragedy. Mm-hmm. And and that's probably the biggest. And there's ways you can contact us directly. You can call Crime Stoppers. You can remain anonymous. But, you know, please, you know, we're always begging the community to come forward with something. The family deserves to know. They've been living with this for a long time. And I'd really, you know, we'd really like to see this case closed. I know it's difficult for everybody, but I really hope at some point somebody either comes forward with being responsible, or they truly know who did it and is responsible for this tragedy.
And can you give the numbers that people can contact?
Best thing is just look up Crime Stoppers online. You could text it in a tip. You can call in through dispatch, and you're remaining anonymous. That would be the best way, you know, for somebody to do that. Or they can call us directly. Lieutenant Scott Goldberg is overseeing the case. He's from Vesper.
Okay.
So he's very familiar with the case, even though none of us at the department were working here when this tragedy happened. But we know the case well. It's something that we've all reviewed and know enough about. And it really takes us back to, somebody knows something, and I just really hope they come forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there's also a few other anniversaries around this time that are all difficult for not only the officers involved or your community, but mm-hmm. the community at large. There's three officer-involved deaths that have anniversaries around this time of year.
Yeah, it's looking at it, starting with Jason Weiland up in the Wausau area. Trevor Casper with the Wisconsin State Patrol, and Craig Burkholz with the Fond du Lac Police Department. In the last 30 days, this time frame happened in different, you know, obviously days and stuff, but they were killed in the line of duty. And, you know, you see those tragedies come up in our, you know, in our Facebook feed, along with, you know, many other law enforcement agencies that share those tragedies. It's a always a harsh reminder how this profession is. You never know what that next call is going to bring you. And the only thing we can do is try to train and prepare ourselves and protect ourselves whenever we handle any type of a situation. But they're harsh reminders that people should know how hard this job is sometimes. And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't go home. And that's a tragedy not only for that family, but the community as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have anything to add to that. So why don't we talk about something a little more positive? You recently had a canine bingo night here on March 26th, my apologies, to raise funds for your canine unit. I hear that went really well.
More than well. You know, we had done one a few months ago, last year, actually, and, you know, I know bingo's pretty popular, and, you know, we had a pretty good turnout. So we're like, well, why don't we do it again, you know, beginning of this year, see how it goes. I think we did more marketing this time that obviously helped, because we were supposed to open up the doors at 4:00 at the Elks here in Wisconsin Rapids. They're very supportive, great partners. And they have a great setup there for bingo. And like, well, we already had people here at 3:30 and we were all set up. Like, okay, let's just open up the doors. And from 3:30 all the way until 5:00, people are coming in. And unfortunately, the building got a capacity and we had to turn people away. And we felt terrible. We really felt horrible that everybody couldn't get in to the venue to play. So it went more than successful. It was more than what we expected. And Lieutenant Brandon Christensen, you know, he had been saying, you know, the week before, I think it's going to go really well. And we're like, no. I mean, we might get more people than last time, but we're not going to sell it. Just, oh, I think we will. There's a lot of people talking about it. And I hate to say it, but Brandon was right. But that was good, though.
Did you hear that, Brandon?
Yeah. Well, I've told him several times already. I just wanted to go to his head. But, no, it really is that reminder on how much our community supports us. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt not just the canine unit, but, you know, law enforcement in general, we have such a giving community that's supporting us. And, you know, and even people that, you know, donated baskets. We had a lot of raffle baskets. Dave Mosier, Mosier Electric, always a huge supporter of our canine unit. He was the, you know, event sponsor. You know, and then we had Jacoby Custom Cues. They've always done a personalized cue that for these kind of events. Huge supporters. Tim Burkhauser, you know, like a week before the event, he goes, hey, through my insurance company, Spectrum, I'll donate a TV for you.
And oh, wow.
Okay. You know, just people that are just volunteering that. And then so many other, you know, businesses that, you know, just reached out to, hey, can we donate a basket? It went, like I said, went really well. Ace Hardware. I just was, you know, just taken back. Every time we do a community event, that the support we have in that. And it's a great transition. I really appreciate you doing that, because it makes us feel better that the people, you know, law enforcement officers here know the community has our back, and that means a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose being law enforcement, you couldn't really exceed the capacity in the building and allow those people in. Probably look a little bad, huh?
Probably, yeah. When the exalted ruler from the Elks, Frank Isles, said, hey, we're got to cut it off. I'm like, okay, it's cut off. And like I said, I felt bad for a few people. Mm-hmm. And
are you going to plan another one?
Yeah, I think so. We were talking about sometime in the fall.
Okay.
We might do it up in Marshfield.
Oh, fun.
You know, we'd reached out. The mayor from Marshfield came down. She's part of our, Mayor Lois is part of, T-Strike is part of our Acacia Foundation that helps fundraise for our Canadian unit. Okay. And we're like, you know, that might be a good opportunity to have something up in the Marshfield area too, because bingo's popular everywhere, and there's a lot of venues up there that would accommodate us well. So,
and Wood County is actually quite big. It covers a large area and multiple big cities, and not all of Marshfield, though, right? It's kind of split somewhere in the middle.
I'd say 2/3 is probably in Wood County, but Wood County is pretty unique when you have two larger cities, equal size, but they're almost on the opposite ends of the county. And it's been challenging, you know, when you have, like, the police department, when they have to bring somebody to jail, that's going to take somebody, you know, a good, probably a third of their shift.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the geographical location, that's the way it is. It's unfortunate. But I believe the county does a nice job of providing services up there, you know, human services. You know, we have an office up in Marshfield as well that we have deputies and investigators work out. So there's a strong focus up in the Marshfield area to provide services because they are part of Wood County. It's just that geographical location, and you have the county seat here in Wisconsin Rapids can mm-hmm. be challenging sometime for the people in Marshfield.
Well, as I drive around the county, I see Wood County officers pretty much everywhere mm-hmm. I go. It's very reassuring.
Oh, I appreciate hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing I'd like to touch on before I let you get back to work today. You got the cops episode recently mm-hmm. to review. How did it turn out?
Great. How that worked is the film crew was here for about 5 weeks or so, and they did exclusive filming in the jail. And they would, our staff was great. You know, they did a great job working with the film crew. And they would just do some filming throughout shifts. And then what they do is they bring that back for editing. And then once they have that episode or that, I don't know if you want to call it, story done, they'll send it back to us for approval. And we got our first one yesterday. And it was great. It was an excellent job by our corrections staff. I think when people see it, they're going to understand how hard it is to be a corrections officer and how we go over and above and beyond to work with people that are incarcerated to try to help them while they're incarcerated. And that's the first episode really highlights that, not mm-hmm. to be a spoiler alert, Sheriff DeFabio, sergeant at the time, she now is our co-responder into a different position. She's part of it along with another sergeant, Josh Poggle, and they just do a really nice job working with somebody that was arrested on a probation violation and then seeing that person through while they go through the bookend process and then into a holding cell.
All right. So you got an exclusive preview. Who got to watch it with you?
Upper command staff. But I am going to share it with all of our staff and probably the county board because they really feel that it highlights the work that's being done in the jail. And I think it's fair, especially our county board with that investment and what our community did with a new facility will highlight, you know, what we do back there.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any idea when it's going to air for the general public?
I don't. I'm estimating sometime in the fall is what they had said.
Okay.
I think they go around the country and they film, you know, many episodes. And then I think that I don't know exactly how it works with, the national networks or, you know, what network is going to either purchase, you know, a series or something like that. But from what I was told, they thought sometime in the fall. But it's a good sign that now we're getting, you know, things to approve.
Another step forward.
Yeah, so I think that we'll probably see something towards the end of the year.
Okay, well, you'll let us know if you get notification of when it's going to air.
I will definitely do that.
Excellent. Well, I very much appreciate the time today. I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker of the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Thank you for talking with me today, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.